Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. I got to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. I want to give a shout out to you for making church a priority and for being here. I also want to thank those that are in the military and serving our country. Thanks so much for being here. We have military that move into the area. They're only here for a few years, but we also have military that watch our online service all across our country, and so we want to say thank you to you. And I want to give one more shout out. Every Sunday is somebody's first Sunday, so would you put your hands together and welcome our first-time guests that are here. Today, we are continuing our series entitled, Your Religion is Broken. And if this is your first time or you missed a week of this series, I highly encourage you to check out the replay of our service. The best way is on our YouTube channel. You can find us, Next Level Church 757. But you can also listen to us on a podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find us, Next Level Church 757, and you can catch up. And I highly recommend, if you haven't done this already, if you would please go to our YouTube channel and like and subscribe to our page to help us out there. That would be absolutely amazing. So today we are continuing our series entitled Your Religion is Broken. And what I want to make sure everyone understands is that broken does not mean bad. Maybe you're familiar with the age-old saying, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Like, broken things can be useful. Broken things doesn't mean you throw it away. It doesn't mean that you have to get rid of it completely. There is an idea that, you know, something is broken. It just means it needs some tweaking. It needs to be fixed. And the reason that religion is broken is because every religion is imperfect. Every religion has its own issues. And every week in this series, we've looked at the definition of what is religion. According to the dictionary, religion is a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. So religion is simply a system. At some point, people got together and they said, okay, how can we understand God? How can we better understand what to do for God and what God does for us? And they came together and formed a systemized religion. It's the practices, the things that you should do or the things that you should not do. That's what a religion is. And religion can actually give us a lot of comfort. There are a lot of things about religion that help us feel safe about this world. There's a lot of things about religion that help us know what to do and what not to do. And some of you here today, you are rule followers, right? You're not a rebel without a cause. You are a rule follower. You like the world being black and white. You feel safe when people follow the rules. You hate it when someone doesn't follow the rules. And so when it comes to religion, you like the idea of it because it helps you feel safe. The human brain is constantly looking for systems to create certain things to make us feel safe. It's why we repeat the same behaviors over and over again, even when people don't tell us to. Like, for example, did you know that there are not assigned seats at Next Level Church? I don't know if you knew that or not. But no one has ever told you where to sit. And yet some of you came on one week and you said, this is forever now my seat. I will sit here forever. And when someone sits in your seat, you look at them like you want to like take them out, like you want to hip check them out. Like, do you not know that that is my seat? But we don't assign seats. Why does your brain assign a seat? It's because your brain is looking for something to help you feel comfortable. It's the repetition of it. I was reading an interesting article that was talking about anxiety and those that struggle with ongoing regular anxiety. And one of the things that people with anxiety tend to do is watch the same television shows or movies over and over again. And the reason they do that is it helps them feel safe. You don't have to worry about how is this going to end or are those characters going to get together or is someone I like going to die? And so they repeat and watch it over and over again. There's lots of things in our life like that, that we just do it and we don't even know why we do it. It's just the system. It helps our brains feel comfortable. Like, for example, in Virginia, I see this happen every single year. This past week, we had the very first day of fall. Fall kicked off. And in Virginia, as soon as fall hits, it's like certain people just pull out their Ugg boots, their flannel, and pumpkin spice everything. And they forget that it was 90-some degrees on the first day of fall. Now, we had a couple cool days that felt like fall, but can I just tell you, if you've never lived in Virginia, if this is your very first time, you need to embrace the fact that we live in the South. It's going to be hot until December. Like, there are going to be a few cool days where you're like, oh, I love the fall, but there's also going to be some days where it's November and you're like, I should have worn shorts today. I saw this meme this week. I thought it was pretty funny, and I want to share it with you. It says, the last thing a pumpkin spice latte sees before it dies. It's true. And in Virginia, as soon as the fall comes, there are certain people who just start dressing the part, and it's like, it's still hot out. Like, you could literally wear shorts still. It doesn't feel like fall, even though the calendar says it's fall. But why do people do that? It's because our brains are looking for systems to help us feel comfortable, and there's something comfortable about doing the same thing over and over again. In the article I was reading about anxiety, it was talking about how so many teenagers today, and you may have noticed this if you work with teenagers or you have a teenager, but so many teenagers today wear hoodies year-round. Even in the summer when it's hot, they wear a hoodie. And what the article was saying is that so many teenagers are dealing with anxiety and stress, and the world is a scary place for them, and that the hoodie has become almost like a weighted blanket. And the reason they're wearing it is because it's making them feel safe and secure. No one's telling them to do this. Their brain is latching on for certain systems and patterns. And so our brains are constantly looking for things that make us feel safe in this world. And so for many people, the reason that we choose religion, or the reason that we go and do religious things, is it makes us feel safe. And that's not a bad thing. But there's a downside to religion. And the downside to religion is that if you focus just on the rules and the regulations and the things that you do, you end up focusing on your own effort. You end up focusing on what you bring to the table for God. In fact, there is two things that are the downside of religion. The downside of religion is that it's based off your performance, which always leads to one of two things. Number one, pride. When religion is focused on what you do for God and what you can do and what you accomplish, it leads us to feel prideful. And this is why there are people who are really spiritual and they're really plugged into church, but they are so judgmental and they are so prideful, and they look down at other people because they're like, how dare you sin differently than I do? They can't believe that someone would struggle because they have mastered a few rules. But there's a second downside to religion, and that is insecurity. Because the truth is, we're all imperfect. We're all going to fall. We're all going to fail. And so when you fail and you don't understand God's love and God's grace, if it's just based off your performance, then you start to question things and you start to wonder, God, can you really love me? Like, God, I know you love good people, but like right now I don't feel so good. So can you love me? And then we start to question things like, do I belong in the church? Because I don't follow all the rules, and I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've made some poor choices, and can I follow if I have some brokenness in my past? Religion leads you to feel pride or insecurity. But that's why Jesus didn't come to give us a new religion. He gave us the gospel. Jesus didn't come just to add a whole bunch more rules and a new thing for us to do. He came to give us something that would completely transform our lives. And this is why the gospel changes everything. When you understand the gospel, it will transform your life. It will give you the motivation that you need to serve God and to put God first. And we're going to see this in our text for today. Our text is going to come from something that Jesus said. Jesus was a master storyteller. He gave amazing illustrations. He was an amazing preacher, and we're going to look at a portion of one of his sermons where he gives an amazing illustration of what it means to be in a relationship with him. But at Next Level, we honor the text, and the way that we do that is by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet. And earlier you met Scott, our executive pastor, and he said that he doesn't think that we're weird. For the most part, we're not weird, but there's a little weirdness to us. And this is one of the weird things that we do. We read the scripture, but then when we get to the reference, you'll see it, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. There's two dots between the 11 and the 28. And the weird thing that we do is we pump our fists and say, dot, dot. And we do this because it's better than a good cup of coffee. It just wakes you up, gets you ready to listen and hear from God. So I want to invite you to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read our text with me nice and loud? It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, dot, dot, 28 through 30. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? And I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer. I don't know if you're a person who prays every day, or maybe it's been a while since you've talked to God, but I want to invite you just to quietly in your heart pray this prayer. God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few seconds just talking to him? And God, that is our prayer. We desperately need to hear from you. The temptation is to rely on our own strength, to rely on our own effort. But God, we can't. We can't do this life without you. And so we ask that you'd speak to us, that you'd encourage us, that you'd challenge us, and give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I want to look at our text and break it down for us, explain what's going on here. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I want to stop there just for a second. This is an amazing invitation. I don't know if you feel safe enough to admit it, but this is a difficult world that we live in. And none of us make it through without some scars. Oftentimes in our life, because we love comfort, because we love to feel safe, when we go through a problem, we want to hide it from other people. This is the reason why a lot of people will struggle in their marriage, but they won't ask for help. They're like, our marriage is falling apart, we don't know what to do, but we don't want to admit it, we don't want to tell someone that we're struggling. And so when we're dealing with difficulties, so often we don't want to come to someone and lay the burden at them, we just hide it. And we just pretend it. Maybe if I don't talk about it, the problem will go away. Or parenting. Parenting is incredibly difficult. No one raises perfect kids. There are no perfect kids. It's why every time someone announces like the birth of their baby, and they're like, this baby's so perfect, I want to comment. No, that baby is not. That baby is a dirty, rotten sinner, and it's going to wake you up all throughout the night. I don't say that, but that's what I want to say. Because nobody is perfect. We all have our issues. We all have our struggles. We all have things that we're dealing with. And isn't it difficult as a human to bring that to someone else? Why is it so hard to ask for help? Why is it so difficult to say, hey, I can't do this. I tried, I made an attempt at it, but like I'm just kind of struggling. Jesus says, come to me, bring your problems to me, and you'll find rest. Growing up as a kid, my parents used to read a book to me, and I remember it. Maybe you grew up in my same time period, and you remember this book. The book is called The Little Engine That Could. Anyone remember that book? Anyone? Maybe you read it to your kids. Okay. If you're not familiar with the book, Little Engine Could, it's about this blue train that is on a journey. And as it starts to go up the hill, it becomes difficult. Life is hard. Doesn't know if it can make it up the top of this hill. And so the engine starts saying the same phrase over and over again. If you remember the book, just say it with me on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And it's this great motivating book that parents would read to their kids to say like, yeah, life is going to be tough and yeah, you're going to deal with some things, but just keep telling yourself, be positive, tell yourself that you can. Well, today's parents read a different version of the book. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this is their version of the book, The Little Engine That Literally Can't Even. It's for everyone who can't deal with their problems. This is, I literally can't even, is a phrase that was made famous by teenage girls. They probably were named Kelsey or Chelsea with an I, but they would say on a regular basis, I literally can't even. And most of the time when they would say, I literally can't even, it would be preceded by three little letters, O-M-G. And they would say this about things that are not that difficult. Like they would try to open up a jar of pickles and say, OMG, I literally can't even. I can't deal with this right now. School's tough. I literally can't even do it. That boy didn't talk to me. I literally can't even do it. And it's become such a phrase that like now even adults are saying this phrase. Because adulting is hard, right? So we are like, literally, I can't do it. Parenting is hard, so we say, I literally can't do it. Our jobs are difficult, so we say, I just can't do it. It's Monday, it's difficult, I literally can't do it. And a lot of us feel this burden of living in this world. It is difficult, and if you've ever said to yourself, OMG, I literally can't do it, then guess what? You're right. And that's what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches you can't do it. You literally can't do it on your own, but God can. You can't make it up that hill. Doesn't matter how hard you try. Doesn't matter how many times you say, I think I can. There are certain problems in this life that you don't have the strength to manage. You don't have the strength to pull yourself up. You don't have the strength to make it through. And the gospel lets us know. Thank you. The gospel lets us know that I am imperfect. The gospel doesn't lie to us. The gospel doesn't say you're good as you are. The gospel doesn't say, just live your truth, you're perfect, you're good as you are. No, the gospel points out we are all fallen, broken human beings. And that's why we need Jesus. So if you're feeling beat up, if you're feeling burdened, if you're feeling worn down, join the club. We all are, and it's not a competition. And Jesus says to you, I give you an invitation. Come to me. But the difficulty is our pride. We're like, I don't know if I want to go to you. I don't know if I want to lay my burden at your feet. I don't know if I want to let go of this problem. I would rather ignore it or hold on to it. Look at what Jesus says next, though. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't that sound great? Isn't that a great invitation? Follow Jesus. You'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in order to understand what Jesus is talking about here, we need to go back in time and we need to look at what this meant in his time and when he was speaking. When Jesus was speaking and he said the word yoke, nobody was thinking about eggs. Now, if you grew up in church, you may be familiar with the yoke. But if you did not grow up in church, then right away you're thinking about eggs. Like, you're probably thinking about, you're hungry right now. You're like, ooh, I like eggs from my head down to my legs. People really like eggs. In fact, my daughter and I made a TikTok of just making eggs in the microwave. And for some reason, it went viral and has almost 1 million views. And I'm like, it's just eggs. But people really like eggs. And so if you're here today and you're like, woohoo, we're going to talk about eggs, you're going to be disappointed, because when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, it has nothing to do with eggs. It has something to do with something that was very familiar in their culture. And there is a literal meaning to the yoke, and there is a figurative meaning. And I'm going to explain both of those to you. The literal meaning of a yoke is something that they would put on two oxen's heads. It would fit over them. It was a wooden piece. You'll see an image on the screen of what the yoke is. They would fasten this on the ox, and then it would allow the ox to share the burden. That instead of carrying all the weight, you would have someone that was walking alongside of you. And it would make sure that you were walking in straight lines so that you didn't go off of the path. And so when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for I'm gentle of heart, everyone in his audience would have been like, oh, yoke, like, yeah, that makes sense. That's a farming technique. Now, here's the interesting thing about a yoke. When you put a yoke on two oxen and they weigh the same and they're the same like size, it cuts the weight of what they're carrying in half, so they don't feel like they're carrying as much. But there's also something that we know in farming is that not every time do you have two ox that are the same size. And so if you have two different sized ox, you would pair like a young ox who was growing, who was learning what it meant to be an ox. You would put a baby ox or a young ox with the adult ox. And whenever you did that, the baby ox didn't carry any of the weight. All the weight falls on the adult ox. But the baby ox, the young ox, gets to participate in the work. Isn't that what it's like following Jesus? I don't know if you know this or not, but when you give Jesus your burdens, it's not a 50-50 thing. It's not like you're carrying 50% and he's carrying the other. He's the adult in this situation. He's the fully grown ox. You're the baby, and you're like, man, I'm really doing some work. But you look at it, and you're like, man, I'm not carrying anything like you are. And when you understand who Jesus is, and you understand the invitation that he gave you, you don't feel bad bringing your problems to you. You're like, I'm just doing what you ask me to do. Yeah, this life is hard. Yeah, we all have difficulties. But Jesus, you said you want to carry my burdens. So here they are. I'm going to be humble and admit, I can't carry this on my own. I can't do this on my own. But there's another image of what the yoke is. And the other image of the yoke is the figurative image of the yoke. When Jesus' audience heard about this yoke, they would have thought about the literal one, and they would have thought about farming, but they also would have known the figurative image of what a yoke is. In Jesus' day and age, rabbis would travel around and they would go to different towns and they would teach different understandings of Scripture. And back then, they didn't have television, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have a way to spread the word. And so they would spread the word verbally, and everyone would start talking about, hey, there's a new rabbi that's come to our town. Let's go out and listen to his yoke. They would go out and they would want to know, what's your special, unique take on the Scriptures? How do you understand what God says? What is the system of religion that you follow? Now, in Jesus' day and age, there was a lot of rules that came with religion. There was a ton of rules. In fact, there were, out of the commands, there was 313 different, or sorry, there were 613 laws that someone who followed God had to obey. 613 laws. So in Jesus' day and age, if you were to join their religion, it came with a lot of rules, a lot of do's and don'ts. One of those rules, one of those laws, was to honor God with the Sabbath. What that meant is that you were to work 6 days, but on the seventh day, you were to rest, not do any work. And you were instead supposed to worship God. And it was a way to show God, God, I'm trusting you. I trust that you're in control. I trust when I'm resting, you're still at work. I trust that things are still going to get done. I trust that, bills are still going to get paid. I'm trusting you. That was a law. And like, that's a good law. We need rest. We're humans, and we need some time off. So that's a great rule. But in Jesus' day and age, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they came along that one law, and they said, you know what? People aren't following it the way that they should. So they came up with an additional 600 different commands on how to honor God on the Sabbath. So you're already dealing with 613 laws, and now just with one of those laws, there's an additional 600 commands. So for example, in Jesus' day and age, if you were a person who didn't have teeth and you had some type of false teeth that you put in your mouth, they came up with a law that said on the Sabbath, it is unlawful for you to put your false teeth in your mouth. So you better go to bed with them, because if you go in the morning and put your teeth in, that's work and that's disobeying God on the Sabbath. They had a rule that it's okay to take medicine for 6 days, but on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, it is work to take medicine. So if you get sick, you can swish it around your mouth, but you got to spit it out, because if you swallow the medicine, that's considered work. They were so legalistic that they actually came up with a number of steps that you could take. If you take this amount of steps, it's not work, but if you go over that amount of steps, it's considered work. Now, just imagine the pressure of following that religion. Imagine the pressure of following that yoke, those rules. You're like, there's already 613, and now you're telling me there's an additional 600 just about this one law, the Sabbath? And so when people would come to a rabbi like Jesus, they would say, okay, what is your yoke? What does it mean to follow you? Like, what are you going to add to my plate? I'm busy. I'm stressed out. I don't have the room. I literally can't even, Jesus. What else are you going to put on my plate? And when they asked Jesus, what is your yoke? Jesus said, out of all the 613 laws, I just want to sum it up with two. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor like you love yourself. Now imagine as a busy person, as someone who's been struggling with the weight of religion, you're like, wow, this sounds different. You're telling me your yoke, everything you're about, you've summed it up in just two things? I think I can handle that. So when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, what he's saying is, I really am making this easy on you. That you come to me, you bring your problems, you bring your issues, you bring your stuff, and I'm going to help carry it. And in return, I ask that you just love God with all your heart and love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's such an important yoke. That's such an important teaching that we've actually built our whole church around it. The mission of Next Level Church is to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. That's the mission here. And we've just tried to make it as simple as possible. If you're a part of Next Level Church, can I just tell you, get ready for disappointment. We are imperfect people. We don't have everything figured out. We don't have every answer. We have our own struggles. But we just want to do what Jesus said. We want to try to love God with all our hearts and love our neighbor like we love ourselves. So Jesus comes on. He says, listen, this is my yoke. This is my yoke. And what Jesus is doing is he is literally saying, listen, if you feel like this life is hard, bring it to me. If you feel like you just can't because tomorrow is Monday and you just can't wake up and face another day, bring that to me. If you don't have the strength to live, bring that to me. Do you see how different this is from religion? Because religion is all about, okay, if you want to join us, here, add some more things to your plate. You want to join us? Add some rules. Here are some things you need to do. In order to belong, you better look like this and you better do these things. And Jesus is like, if you want to belong, just lay your burdens at my feet and I'll help you carry this thing. And in return, you'll want to love God and love other people. An easy life doesn't come from what you carry, but by who carries your soul. An easy life doesn't come from ignoring your problems. An easy life doesn't come from pretending like you don't have problems. An easy life comes when you know who has the ability to give your soul rest and you lay your problems at his feet. This is where the gospel comes in. Religion says, add one more thing to your plate. But the gospel says, no, no, no. You come to God not because you have to, but because you want to. And the reason you want to is because you realize just how broken you really are. I saw a video this week that did a great job explaining what the gospel is. And I wanted to share it with you. Check this out.
This is a cup of coffee. It's made from the freshest, highest quality beans and was masterfully prepared by an artisan barista. This is also a cup of coffee. It was made in a gas station, brewed in a crusty old pot, and has the consistency and aroma of motor oil. Now imagine that a single drop of poison is deposited into each cup. Which of these would you want to drink? The answer is obviously none. The quality of the coffee is irrelevant because each cup has been completely contaminated by that one drop. This is the story in Romans 1. It paints a sobering picture of the human condition. The best cup of coffee represents figures like Mother Teresa or Gandhi, the people we see as the most moral and selfless. The gas station coffee represents the other end of the spectrum, people like Hitler or Stalin, who we consider the worst of the worst. And we tend to see ourselves as somewhere in between. But the truth is that no matter who you are, where you're from, or how great your accomplishments are, we've all been born with a deadly contaminant called sin. It doesn't discriminate based on race, gender, sexuality, or economic status. And no matter how hard we try to be good, no matter how spectacular our coffee is, there's nothing we can do to eliminate the toxin. The playing field is leveled. All sin is lethal, and no one escapes its deadly effect. But it doesn't end there. We're offered an antidote. This is the greatest news of all time. This is the gospel.
See, a person who understands what the gospel is will literally wake up every morning and saying, OMG, I literally can't even. And that's why I got to run into the presence of God. I can't deal with Monday, so I need to read my Bible. I don't have to do this. I get to do this because I got to get into the presence of God. And I don't have to pray. God loves me whether I pray or not, but I can't wait to pray because I need to get into the presence of God. And I don't have to go to church. God will love me whether I go to church or not, but I can't wait to get to church because I get to experience the presence of God with other Christians, and I just got to get into his presence because I've realized that I literally can't even without him. And when you understand the gospel, it changes everything. Because now you're not worried about what you have to do for God. You understand what God has done for you. A person who struggles to spend time with God is a person who hasn't grasped the gospel. And the truth is that there's a lot of us who have grown up in church and we've heard about Jesus and we've heard some things of the Bible, but we've never grasped what the gospel really is. Yeah, we know that Jesus died for our sins, but we haven't really understood just how separate we are without his love for us. Because when you really understand the gospel, you understand that you literally can't even. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. A person who has grasped the gospel will desire to spend time with God. A person who has grasped the gospel literally will say, I've got to get into his presence. I've got to spend time with him. I don't have to. I get to. And it changes everything. The Apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament, he said it this way. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, "But he said to me," talking about God, "but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." If it was translated today, Paul would have said, "I literally can't even. I know that I'm weak. And I'm not going to hide my weakness. I'm not going to pretend that I'm better than I am. I'm not going to pretend like my marriage is perfect or my kids are perfect or my job is perfect. I'm not going to pretend that I am perfect because I know I'm not. I'm going to actually brag about my weaknesses. Why? Because in my weaknesses, Jesus is strong. And if you think that I'm an idiot, great. But by God's grace, we can do something great. And if you think that you can't accomplish something and you can't do something great, that's a perfect place to be because you bring that to God and he puts the yoke on you and he carries the burden for you. But the question is, have you ever trusted Jesus with carrying your burdens? I'm not asking you for religion. I'm not asking you, have you ever been to church? I'm not asking you, have you ever read your Bible or have you given some money? I'm asking you, have you ever had that moment where you just said, Jesus, I admit that I cannot carry the weight of my soul. And I give you that weight. And I lay it at your feet and I trust that you're going to carry it for me. So may we be a people that understands the difference between religion and the gospel. May we think about the gospel often so it causes us to want to run into the presence of God. And when this life gets hard, may we not try to fix our own problems or come up with our own solutions, but may we run to the presence of God because we know His burden is easy. And may we be a people that remembers just what Jesus has done for us. We pray with me, God. We come before you and we just admit that we are imperfect people. And so often we try to fix our own problems. We try to hide the fact that we even have problems. But God, you invite us into an amazing relationship with you where you carry the weight. And so we ask right now, God, that you would give us that strength, a supernatural strength, to lay down our problems at your feet. That you would give us the strength to face the things that are in front of us. That we would have the strength to ask for help. The strength to admit that we're broken. The strength to lay our problems at your feet. And God, we ask that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. You tell us that you'll help us carry this weight. You tell us to lay it down. So we ask that you do what only you can do in our lives and our hearts. And we ask that you do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.